Hello, I'm Dr. Richard Friend. Taking control of and improving your health requires the most relevant and timely health information available. And University Medical Center is here to help with facts and advice about important health topics that you care about. We know that your health matters. Welcome to the Health Matters Podcast.
I'm Tamika Alexander here with Dr. John Burkhart, clinical psychologist, and he provides psychotherapy and related care at the University Medical Center. He's an associate professor in the Department of Psychiatry and Behavioral Medicine at the College of Community Health Services, and he's also the assistant director of the University of Alabama Tuscaloosa Family Medicine Residency Program, which the college operates. Welcome, Dr. Burkhart.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Tell us a little bit about mental health. We know May is coming up. It's a big month. Yeah. Why is mental health important?
Well, I mean, it's for a lot of reasons, right? But first of all, just thanks for having me on so we can kind of talk about it. It's kind of one of the things that obviously the medical center, we care a lot about, right? So just kind of bringing that awareness to it. But, you know, your mental health is tied with your physical health and a lot of other things. In fact, if you look at somebody's well-being, they can kind of break it down into categories of physical, mental, spiritual, financial, occupational, in your home life. So when you're kind of looking at a person, we're more than, you know, we're a sum of all of those items that kind of make us hopefully perform the best that we can perform.
And why is mental health so important? You know, we hear so much about it now.
Sure.
Why is it so important now?
I think it's always been important. I think we, like anything else, we just start to kind of figure it out a little bit more. It gets a little bit more awareness, it starts to be more in people's minds. People understand it more, right? So the more you understand how something works, the more it's going to come up. And then I also think with everything that goes on, it's sometimes it's harder to fix than some other things that go on in your life. And sometimes you don't even realize you're struggling with something like that, but yet you don't know what's really going on, right? There's something wrong. I can't figure out what's going wrong. I mean, I talk to people sometimes and they say, well, I'm not depressed and, you know, I don't think it's this or that. And I say, okay. And then I'll ask them some questions. How are you sleeping? Not very good. Are you eating? Well, I'm kind of eating more than usual or sometimes less. Okay. More irritable? Yeah. How's your energy? That's a little bit lower. Are you still doing the things you love to do? Like sometimes, but not all the times. And I'm like, you're depressed. They're like, what are you talking about? You've just listed a whole bunch of things that fall under that, you know, classification of depression. Now you still might be able to like do some things, work, family, so you might not think that, but then all of a sudden you can't figure out what you're missing or what's going on. And so all of a sudden you're like, yeah, that's what this is.
What falls under the mental health category? I know we was talking yesterday and I know somebody mentioned being depressed and they was like, is that mental health? Yeah, it is. So just what are some of the things that fall up under the umbrella? I know that's kind of broad.
It is broad, but I mean, it goes from the things that everybody thinks about, ADHD, autism, intellectual disabilities, dementias, cognitive disabilities, right? From a stroke or having a traumatic brain injury, somatic illness. So you think about people that worried about their health, right? Or sometimes they worry about it so much that it more comes out like physical symptoms. So they think that they're sick really when they're not. And that can be really frustrating. Then you have depression and anxiety, ADHD, trauma. Trauma is a really important one too, because that's probably one, I think, in mental health in general that we're starting to learn so much more about it now. And so you're going to hear a lot more about it because it's really important. And I think it's kind of like how we used to think about mental health in the old days, where like everybody just kind of don't worry about it, just put it there. And all of a sudden we're learning like trauma, you know, it happens. And it happens more than how we first learned about like people going to war and coming back, right? Not that that's not unimportant, but it happens in many other ways. So.
And it can be something as simple as the little things like lack of sleep. Mm-hmm. It can be little like that, things that can trigger like mental health problems, right?
Sure. I mean, I always, you know, one of the things I tell my patients, like, it's kind of funny how some of the lessons that we learn when we're younger, we kind of forget, but they're really important as you get older. Like drink enough water, eat right, exercise, get sleep. Things you heard from a little kid, from your doctor, going on forever. And then all of a sudden you become an adult and you're going to go there and they're going to tell you the same things all over again because they're really important to keep in your body running. you know, or the car. That's kind of like always the analogy I use, right? You got to take care of the car. And so, yeah, I mean, and I like those things too, because they don't need to go see anybody. You're perfect in control of that. If you want to go to the gym to work out, or if I want to go for a walk, it doesn't matter. It's whatever's working for you. Same thing with diet or how you're kind of fitting, you know, your water intake in and sleep. Sleep's always tricky. Sleep's a hard one, because people, I think sometimes what happens is they get so tired, they sleep so much thinking it's going to fix things, because it can briefly, but if you do it all the time, the cruel part about it is that, like, you're just more tired. But you're like, I'm going to sleep because I'm tired. You're like, yeah, but it doesn't work that way.
And how does help look? You know, some people think medicine can help. How does help look? Is it going to therapy? Is it taking medicine? Or is it both? Or is, how does help look?
I think it's always person dependent, right? So at its core, you know, from my standpoint, yes, you know, therapy would be great. Medication would also be helpful. But then if you kind of think back to what we talked about before, so let's just say you're kind of down, and maybe you're a spiritual person. And so then all of a sudden you're like, you know, I haven't gone to church as much as I want to, because you're depressed, right? And so you say, maybe that's an area of my life that needs improvement. So I'm going to go there. And so that person who usually goes every Sunday, who hadn't gone in a while, starts going once a week and builds, and all of a sudden they're like, I feel better, in addition to doing some other things. So I don't always think there's just like a one-trick pony. I think it's the problem is always in multiple different areas, so usually the solution is in multiple different areas. It'd be great if it wasn't, but.
And some of the things I learned is really not like, it's not really one size fits all. It looks mm-mm. different on everybody. Like you mentioned church, so that might be one sign of somebody's missing church, but it could be somebody who's very, very active in church. So it just looks different.
Correct, depending on what you want. It could be you're missing exercise, or you're missing your hobbies, or you have some financial stressor and you figure out a way to handle that, and then it's gone. You're like, oh, this is much better, right? Or maybe it's even work. Like, yeah, it's been really stressful at work, and this is what's bringing me down, and then all of a sudden something changes at work and it gets better, right? So, yeah, I mean, it could be a lot of things where you can, and that's why I kind of talked about those different areas, because there's multiple places where you can maybe look and see if you can do something there to help with your overall mental health.
I think the thing I've learned out of all this is just very important to check on people. But when you check on people, what does that look like? Because I know we can always ask, hey, how you doing? I'm good.
Yeah.
But I need to ask you a little bit more than that to see how you're really doing, if that makes sense. So how do we do a check-in with somebody?
That's a fantastic question. You're talking like covert check-in, I think, though, like where somebody's. So I think when you go and you ask somebody how they're doing, right, and if they say they're fine, but you like, you don't seem fine. So then what I do is, are you sure? I say, okay, good. Well, the reason I was asking you, and this becomes a big part. I have noticed this, you point to some behaviors, and I'm just worried for you, right? So you're not asking them to explain anything. You're not asking them to do anything, right? You're kind of telling them, hey, I noticed, and I'm worried, and that's why I'm checking in. And then that's when the person kind of starts to think about it and kind of take a pause, and if they want to talk about it, they can. But then if they don't, you can just say, and if they say, no, I'm still fine, hey, that's great, thanks for, you know, helping with that. By the way, if I'm wrong or something comes up, just please let me know. And then you can, and you also say this, I'm still probably going to check in on you because I care about you, right? So that way you don't feel like a nuisance. They kind of know what's going on, and you can kind of do it, you know, you can kind of do it that way.
How important is it to have those mental health talks? I noticed that as I'm doing my research, people just, it's like a stigma and people don't want to talk about it, but it's there. How important is it just to open the door and have those conversations at home, starting at home with parents and children? Because children do go through mental health trauma.
They see a lot of it, not only at school, but on television, just like all of us. It's super important, but it's, you know, it's different, because if you go to your doctor's office, and people are sitting in the lobby, and if everybody's talking about, oh, I'm here for diabetes, or I broke my thumb, or something, like, people talk about that very openly. But if in that same clinic, somebody's like, oh, I'm here to see somebody because I'm anxious or depressed, everybody's like, ooh, right? And so learning to talk about that with somebody and being comfortable, you know, it's like, oh, okay. glad to know that you're here getting help, because I think sometimes people in those situations, if they ask them, here comes all this stuff that I'm not really equipped to kind of manage, right? So you just normalize it, right? Like, oh, I hope the doctor can help you. Just like if somebody had diabetes, oh, I hope he could able to do this for you, right? And then people just get a little bit more comfortable doing it. But it also, it's a very personal thing. You know, some people obviously have some things that they don't always want out in the open. And I don't know if you ever get rid of that part, right? There's always going to be that part that's a little personal. But same thing with some health conditions, too. There's always some parts that are a little bit more personal, and you're just going to kind of keep those to yourself.
And how important is it to talk to somebody? That's probably really the first step in managing our mental health is talking to somebody, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think it's, I'm going to say this. It seems to be very underrated how important it is, right? So when I work with our residents, for example, and they have somebody that's depressed, and so one of the things that's tough for them is, well, we don't get to sit with them for an hour like you do and talk to them. Like, don't need to. You know, there's not a lot of information out there that says if you had a therapy session for 15 minutes, 30 minutes, 45, or 60, the one for 60 is always, the person always does better. There's no information for that. But even taking the time to ask somebody about how they're doing for 5 minutes and giving them a chance, because people like to talk about themselves. And if they're struggling, they definitely want to talk to somebody, right? That, for most people, that carries miles for them. You know, and they're like, my doctor cares about me. They saw something was going on. You know, it can be the difference of just taking the edge off a little bit, letting them kind of relax and doing those types of things. So, yeah, I mean, it's always important, even just a little bit. I would say this. So it's my own personal opinion. People try to fix other people's problems when they're listening, instead of asking them more questions. And I think that's where both sides get frustrated. You know, you tell me you're depressed, I'm your friend, go to the gym, work out, I see you later. Have you gone to the gym yet? Nope, still depressed, nope. But I'm like, well, I told her to go to the gym. I told her to go do these things. She's not doing, I don't know what's wrong with her. Right, we get that a lot because I'm your friend. I don't want to see you suffer, right? I have a loved one. I don't want to see them suffer. So we're quick to wanting to help them. But sometimes what you help them is just be like, oh, you're depressed. What's been going on? What's that been like for you? Right? And give them a chance to tell you what it is. So you're not trying to solve it. You know, you're trying to understand it. You give them a chance to kind of work through it a little bit, and then you'd be surprised, those conversations, they get a little bit easier. The person that's the friend doesn't feel like, oh my God, how can I help them? You know, and the person that's struggling can say, wow, this is great. Somebody's listening to me. You know, it's a very powerful thing.
And I think sometimes we do have a tendency to want to fix stuff.
Well, sure. I mean, if you're my friend and you're hurting and you're upset and you're depressed, absolutely, I want to say something to you where you get up and you say, thank you, and give me a hug and be like, I feel so much better now, and you kind of go back, right? That'd be a wonderful, it's a wonderful thing, right? I'm a friend, that's what I would want, but it doesn't work that way. Especially if somebody gets really, really depressed or really, really anxious, then it really doesn't work that way.
And therapy sessions can be, like you said, 30, as long as you're talking to somebody. Mm-hmm. And then a therapy session looks totally different for.
Yeah, so perfect example, if you go to an office, traditionally, an hour, right? But when I've worked in other places, in other states, and I was in a hospital doesn't give you the ability to have an hour-long therapy session. So you learn, and there's brief kind of treatments for it, but you learn how to do something like that in like 15 minutes, right? Because you'll never get an hour uninterrupted in a hospital when somebody's staying there. So it can all change. And sometimes it's almost kind of have to judge what the person is or where they're at or how they're feeling, so you almost don't over talk it, right? Like, I'm in a good place, 40 minutes have passed, and then you're both sitting there trying to get to an hour. Sometimes it's okay to stop a little early, just like sometimes you go a little bit longer because something big has kind of come up.
Anything else you want to add about mental health that we need to know about?
There's so much, right?
I know.
I just think it's great. I thought it was really cool to hear you talk that, you know, you're doing what you're going to be doing next month. You know, at the medical center, we're always trying to kind of work on that and change it to bring awareness to folks and give them opportunities to learn more about it. I would probably say, if you're thinking something's going on, then when you go see your doctor, just ask instead of trying to figure it out yourself. Go to your doctor and say, I think I may or may not be this, and then let them have the conversation. I mean, it's usually your primary care doctor. You're going to see them way before you see me. Like, ask them, you know, and then the two of you can make a decision. And then that way, you know, you've got support already. Here's the person that's taking care of my, you know, my medical conditions, my physical health. Now they're aware of some mental health things, but they're also helping me with that. I mean, it's so important, and it's a great thing to have. Everybody kind of starts to work together for something.
And I think we have to be honest, because when you mention primary care doctor, they do kind of go through that list, like, how you feeling today? Is it a 1 to 5? And I think we have to be honest, because they're asking for a reason. Mm-hmm. You know, they're asking because if they see we need help, they want to get us help.
Absolutely. You know, they're your first line of defense, right? They're the ones that we see for everything. And so, and a lot of times too, people see them and they just want to see them. They don't want to come and see me because they're like, I know this person, or I think they, you know, I have a great relationship with them. They care about me. You know, those things, like, you know, if you're sitting with somebody who's taking care of, you know, your just health in general, and you have that feeling like the two of you get along really well and you have really good rapport, that carries miles as far as like your treatment outcome, how well you do together. So, which is always kind of a neat thing.
Last question. This may be a heavy question.
Maybe.
How do we erase the stigma? You know, it's such a cloud over mental health, and people think, oh, you know, back, I know when I was little, you say mental health, and you think somebody's crazy, but it's much mm-hmm. more than that. And how do we normalize it's okay to be okay, and just taking the stigma out of hearing the word mental health and thinking, oh, let me stay away from her.
Yeah.
You know, that's just kind of how we were brought up, you know?
It is, or you just don't talk. You just don't talk about it, right? So you probably hear some stories about other people talking about it. So perfect example was there, I think I just read recently, a senator that said he had depression, right? And he, from what I gathered, might have had to go someplace for a little bit, and now he's out and he's getting ready to come back. I mean, if you're a senator, I mean, that's a big thing, because that's something I would think in the past you'd want to hide. So if you're running again, nobody could use that against you. Right? That would be my guess. But, you know, having people talk about that and what the experience is to kind of, what's the word I'm going to look for? Like, debunk some of the myths, right? I mean, I've taken care of some schizophrenic patients. They're some of the nicest people in the world. They're not always the people that you see in movies and everything else. Just like sometimes people come to see me for therapy, it doesn't look like it does on TV. And I think that kind of goes to your point from earlier. It's like, if we understand it because we just hear more about it, then it's like, oh, you know, okay, I kind of get it now.
It's more normalized.
Yeah, but it comes normalized from understanding things. I mean, if you think about just human beings in general, the more we understand something, the more we're accepting or not accepting of it, depending on what it is, right? If it could be bad for us, for example. And then what we do about it. It's just learning about it sometimes can be a lot, because there's so many things about mental health. You know, you could be depressed or anxious or this or that, and it's like tied in, and it's like, which one is it? Well, you know, it could be symptoms of one causing the other. It could all be, I always kind of look at things more in a continuum. Sometimes, you know, we kind of go back and forth, so it can vary quite a bit. But also doing things like you're doing, I'm going to talk about different things in different areas, kind of going from there.
To learn more from us about these and other important health topics, visit cchs.ua.edu, and for all your primary health care needs, visit University Medical Center, with locations in Tuscaloosa, Northport, Demopolis, Fayette, and Carrollton. Thanks for listening.